Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Talladega welcomes NASCAR Sprint Cup and trucks. Opinions vary on the results. The Formula One World Championship comes to America. One of the longest running historic weekends in American short track racing unfolded on the hard clay in Middletown, New York. We've got all this and more. Welcome the Speedway Report for Monday, October the 24th, 2016, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thank you for joining us tonight from the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios. Producer Jeff Gilder is with us. Jeff is okay with the local kids soaping up the studio windows on Halloween, because when it rains, maybe they will finally get cleaned. He's still busy down there cleaning up from Hurricane Matthew, so if there's a little bit of vandalism with some shaving cream or some soap along the studios, really would kind of help him out a little bit. So good to have him alongside and pushing the buttons and bringing us to life. Happily welcome all of you who are joining us on Racers Reunion Radio, listening to my voice. Hello to all of you viewing us on Speedway Report TV. You're in this camera I'm pointing to right here. We're in speedwayreport.com. Go to the top ribbon. There's a TV button there. Press that, and you can watch our show there. We are on the Racers Reunion stock car page as well. And to my left, the camera's right over here. We're on Facebook Live, so you can head on over to our show page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds on Facebook. We are live right there. Thanks to all of you for being with us wherever you are listening to us and watching us. Good to talk to you tonight. Also, welcome to our friends at the chat rooms, racersreunion.com. On the stock car site, I see Danny Whitener's over there, along with Doug, our producer, Jeff. Larry is with us, Jerry Smith and Stars Radio, and the legend, Tim Leeming, has joined us over there. Good to see all you guys tonight. Over on the drag races site, Barb is there, along with Pratt. I am there. Jeff is there. Rich and Thomas are already logged in. Why are our drag racing friends there? Racing and Rocking with draglist.com. That comes up at 8 o'clock at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss that. All of our NHRA and drag racing friends got some pretty good music cranking up there as well. Welcome all of you to the fastest half hour in racing on speedwayreport.com, Facebook Live, and Racers Reunion Radio. So we've got all kinds of mediums here of radio, television. Happily, you're with us. I'm glad all of you are with us. And a little note to my Facebook friends, if you are checking us out on Facebook Live and you're on our page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, I'd appreciate it if you click there, give us a like. We could always use more likes on the page. Like to see people, like to chat with people Monday through Sunday as well. And also, as I'm going through all this gratuitous social media plugging, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is SpeedwayPat. Our show also has its own Twitter page, Speedway Report. So we're juggling, gosh, all kinds of ways you can get a hold of us. Bench race, talk, watch, listen, read our articles. We've got lots of good stuff going on. If you're on social media or on the internet, you can find Speedway Report. Let's head on up to our victory lane lap that we go through every week, give you the results. Yes, we're deep into autumn, late October. Halloween is a week away. Still plenty of miles and plenty of laps to turn. The Sprint Cup cars were at Talladega over the weekend, and yesterday afternoon, Joey Logano took the checkered flag and won the 500-mile event down there. Four guys were eliminated from the Chase playoffs: Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, and Austin Dillon. They are done and out of the playoffs. A real good race was held there on Saturday afternoon, where a good short tracker, Grant Enfinger, won the NASCAR Truck Series race at Talladega. I've seen Grant run, late models, ARCA, some truck races before. I've seen him run down at the Snowball Derby. He's around Lake Norman here. Met him. Humble, nice guy. Never met anybody who doesn't like Grant Enfinger. good short track racer that, man, if he could catch a break, he could definitely wheel it with the top dogs in the Cup Series. One of the big stories over the weekend did not just involve turning left, but left and right, is down in Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. We welcome to Formula One here to United States soil with the U.S. Grand Prix, but no surprise there is the results. It was won by Lewis Hamilton over his Mercedes teammate Nico Rosberg. Daniel Ricciardo with Red Bull completed the podium. They leave the United States and will head to Mexico this coming weekend. Rosberg holds a 26-point lead over Hamilton for the World Championship. There are three races to go and 75 points up for grabs for the winners. Yes, it will be a slugfest and settled between the Mercedes teammates, but not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. Rosberg had a pretty good lead heading into Austin, but with Hamilton's win, the gap is now closed a little bit. This is getting tighter and tighter. The mechanical problems and gremlins seem to have been with Hamilton this year. Rosberg has escaped them. That leaves me always that little back of my head doubt that maybe something could happen to either gentleman in the next three races. Interesting to note, I look at the F1 calendar. Their final racing weekend is over Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. We've got a nice four-day holiday that we will be enjoying. And motorsports guys, we're just usually finishing up the NASCAR Championship in Homestead, Miami. We're starting to go through withdrawal, and I like it when the F1 calendar schedules that for us. I don't believe they do that on purpose, but when it lines up and the stars line up, yeah, I can go for some F1 racing along with my turkey and potatoes and stuffing. The USAC Midgets raced in the Midwest in City, Illinois. Brady Bacon was the winner last Friday night for the midget cars. I'm thinking of a Friday night race in late October in Illinois. Yeah, there's some diehard race fans there bundling up with the long johns and the winter coats, enjoying some midget racing. But I've been at racetracks where it snows before, so I know how they're feeling. Big short track weekend of racing up in Middletown, New York for the Eastern States weekend at the Orange County Fair Speedway. 3 days of racing. They had some practice in qualifying in the sportsman race on Friday night. However, rain on Saturday postponed that schedule to double up and make for a very long Sunday. In the small block modified 100, Brett Hearn crossed the line to apparently take the win as he crossed the line first under the checkered flag, but his car came up light at the scales and was disqualified, giving the win to Brian Crummell. In the Eastern States 200 for Big Block Modifieds was run later in the day on Sunday. Stuart Friesen passed Hearn in turn three on the final lap to win. Hearn dropped to third at the stripe behind Anthony Perego up there. We'll talk about the kind of money that slipped through Hearn's fingers in one afternoon very shortly, a little bit later in the show. Big disappointment, heartbreak. He handled it like a professional. We'll talk about that in a little while. Let's jump on down to Talladega right now for the Chase, as we like to call it. It's getting to be kind of like a weekly rant of mine with the NASCAR playoffs and the Chase format and how much I despise this thing. But each week, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series gives me a new reason and new points to bring up on the show. So let's take a look at it. At the end of the day yesterday, when the checkered flew, four guys were eliminated from championship contention. Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, and Austin Dillon. Gone, done, cannot race for the championship. As we moved from Talladega into Martinsville this weekend, Talladega finished up the round of 12. We now move to the round of 8, and I'm kind of embarrassed and ashamed of myself that I actually know this stuff, this 8, this 12, whatever you have. Yeah, I know it. I shouldn't. But anyway, we talked about the playoffs. We talked about who's in, who's out. Yeah, big stories in NASCAR, but when you have a race like you had on Sunday and you have a great story, to me, a lot of it was overshadowed and pushed to the side, and that was Brian Scott with his second-place finish driving for the King, Richard Petty and Richard Petty Motorsports. I know it's not Petty Enterprises, but as a memory to my dad, hey, I always pull for that Petty car and the 43. And this time, 43 with Eric Almirola, might as well give a hat tip to him, had a nice eighth-place finish there. and Brian Scott ran second in the 44 for RPM. So you had two top tens in the petty cars, and I believe that was their first two top tens all year between the between the pair of drivers. So good for them. Now, to me, that's a big story. Underdog Brian Scott criticized a lot for coming up through the ranks of the Nationwide Series, moving into Cup, basically because he has a sponsor and a checkbook to help him out. Every racer is true to that to some point where they need some money and some backing. Scott has made his way to the Cup Series not on the strength of wins, but realistically on the availability of a checkbook. And he's been teased. He's been criticized for whatnot, for his driving style, his driving ability, the crashes as he's been in. He's been the butt of a lot of jokes. I've heard them all. I get it. I understand that. Give credit where credit is due, then, if you're going to bash him for when he makes a mistake, which does happen, sure. But he ran second yesterday, and second in a Cup race. That far away, he was less than a tenth of a second away from victory lane, ahead of Joey Logano. That, to me, is a big story. Credit should be given to him, and gosh, a bigger deal should be made of this. I remember years ago, oh boy, I want to say the early 2000s, maybe the first year of the chase, 03, 04, 04, something like that, 05. In any event, it doesn't really matter, but it was at the Richmond race on Saturday night that settled the 10 drivers at that point that moved to the chase. And Mike Bliss scored a great fourth place run in a Joe Gibbs entry. Bliss was running for the Gibbs cars regularly in the, was it the Nationwide Series? Might have been the Busch Series back then, but he ran regularly then. Ran a Cup race for them as a one-off deal, got a great fourth-place finish, was largely ignored. I remember this as the TV reporters chased chase guys up and down pit road to get a word with these chase guys, everybody in the chase, blah, blah, blah. And here sat Mike Bliss with a fine top five, largely ignored. Brian Scott, yes, he got some media credit. Not as much credit and as attention as he deserved, as everybody fawned all over each other for this, these chase guys. Brian Scott, if you're going to be the butt of the jokes and the teasing and the snickering on social media and in the media, on talk radio, what have you, for the accidents and the driving, then there's no way around it that you need to have the tip of the hat and big credit for you for a second place finish. The chase system, unfortunately, is designed around ignoring guys in runs like this, because the chase takes priority in media, and they'll see if they can squeeze in some other stories after that. Let's look on the flip side of the picture. We got the guys that were eliminated. Well, let me back up for a minute. I don't want to jump ahead too quick, because I want to talk to about two of them in particular, Martin Truex Jr. and Brad Keselowski. You've got four wins each, eight wins total, and neither one of these guys is advancing into the next round. Season-long point standings, you really can't compare. They're logged. They're held. People keep track of them. But you can't really compare them to what the standings would actually be like because of this 26-race and then 10-race playoff. People race differently than they did in a straight 36-race season. That being said, Martin Truex Jr. and Brad Keselowski would likely be very high, well within the top five of championship standings, with a realistic shot at this title as we get closer to Miami. Not with this system. Here's what I don't like. I go on and on weeks and weeks about what I don't like about it, but here's an apples and oranges, nuts and bolts description of why I don't like it. Is because you can take their entire season and you squish it down and you put these race teams in this three consecutive week box that they have to perform in and finish better out of this pack of 16. You can get a flat tire, a loose lug nut. Keselowski, a great example yesterday, where a piece of paper went over the grill and caused his engine to blow. And because of that, because of this format that they have, his title hopes are done. And he's out of it, and it's just silly. Now we've got eight more guys tied up again as we head to Martinsville this week. Now I'll jump ahead again. You've got the guys that were eliminated. Let's talk about the guys that made it. And what was a big story today is how they made it. The Joe Gibbs Racing guys, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, and Carl Edwards. Joe Gibbs Racing, darn good restrictor plate cars, darn good racing team. Three drivers, Kenseth, Busch, and Edwards, three of the best we have on the tour. They rode in the back all day to not crash, and just made sure they advanced into the next round of these playoffs. They finished like 28th, 29th, 30th. something like that, and they stayed there all day. With as many empty seats and dropping TV ratings, this does not bode well for the sport. Now, it is not Joe Gibbs Racing's job to promote this sport and make it come out on top and put people in the grandstands. The race team's job is to win the championship, and they need to race accordingly. So they, I don't have the problem with. Again, my weekly rant and bitch about this chase and this system we have that encourages this. This is the system we have. This is what it's in place. That is what those three drivers needed to do, not get caught up in into a big pileup, to advance to the next round of the playoffs. Now, with all the empty seats that we have at these racetracks at Talladega, we'll take that as an example. Say you were a Kyle Busch fan and you drove hundreds of miles and took time off from work and spent hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars, I don't know, plane tickets, rental car, hotel, race tickets, food, vacation time. I don't know, but say you did, went to Talladega to watch Kyle Busch, your guy, run around in 30th all day. What are the odds of you buying a ticket and going back to another Sprint Cup race, especially at Talladega? This is not what the sport needs. We need the importance placed back on every individual race that makes these guys go after it. They go after it at times. They stroke at times. Talladega was a situation where these guys, it was in their best interest to drag the brake, ride in the back, and get to the next round of the playoffs. Does this or does this not violate that 100% rule from NASCAR that they came out with a few years ago with, well, remember the Clint Boyer, Michael Waltrip Racing scratching the poison ivy story? How the rule is interpreted, as I heard from NASCAR, is that they want the teams to give 100% to try to win and not manipulate a race's outcome in order to benefit themselves. These guys really rode within what was needed for them to advance to the next round of the playoffs. This seems like contradictory to me because there's no way Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, and Carl Edwards gave 100%. I think you can throw Jimmy Johnson in that category as well, and I don't blame the drivers. They're racing with the system that's put in front of them. The system is bad. Once more, this chase, these playoffs, they don't belong in motorsports. This is what you get. Stick and ball teams where you go from city to city and it's one-on-one all the times, it works for that type of sport. It just does not work in auto racing where every race needs to be of its own importance. I'm done with the pavement and the super speedways. Let's go to the hard clay on dirt. One of my favorite short track races of the year, one of the biggest actually in short track racing, is the Eastern States Weekend held at the Orange County Fair Speedway in Middletown, New York. 5/8 mile flat dirt oval, home of the big block modifieds. They also race the dirt sanctioned sportsman cars, small blocks, street stocks as well. And let's talk about the most successful driver in the history of the track had a bittersweet weekend. We talked about Brett Hearn shortly ago in the victory lane lap. Let's set the stage for Sunday. Saturday was rained out, which was scheduled for heats and consies for the small block modifieds as well as their 100 lap feature. And then Sunday was set for consolation races for the big block modifieds as well as their 200 lap main event. The small block modified 100 lapper paid $15,000 for first place. The big block modified 200, $35,000 to win. So that's a total of, I'm going to do math here, $50,000. Plus, there was a $10,000 bonus for a sweep of both of the events. If you could do both, win them both, you were winning $60,000 for a Sunday afternoon and for one dirt track driver. Brett Hearn crossed the line first in the small block modified 100, seemingly winning $15,000. Not quite. His car came up light at the scales by a few pounds, and I read in an interview with him that he normally runs the car a little bit heavy, with a few gallons of gas in it to give himself about a 20 to 25 pound buffer. I believe he usually shoots for about 25 pounds. They did weigh the car ahead of time, and evidently a mistake was made because he came up, the official number, I believe, was 23 pounds light, in the small block modified 100. So he was disqualified from that win. That win went to Brian Krummel, who finished across the line second, winds up winning the race. Then for the big 200-lap modified race later that day, $35,000 awaited the winner. Brett Hearn led. Turn three, last lap, white flag waves. Stuart Friesen gets to the inside of Brett Hearn. They made contact. Hearn rides up, and Friesen goes on to first to the checkered flag. No dirty driving. This was side-by-side, a little bumping. There was a hole down on the bottom of Hearn, was up high, left the inside open. Friesen was able to go underneath them. They traded some paint, banged some nerf bars off of turn four, head to the checkered flag. Friesen takes $35,000. Hearn couldn't even salvage second. He dropped the third as they traded sheet metal down the line. So he came from $60,000 to quite a bit of a drop. I don't have the official prize money for his DQ in the small block modified race or what third place paid in the 200. It was quite a bit shorter than $60,000, which he could have snagged that close to winning that much money. That was exciting. Man, for all the success and races and money that Brett Hearn has won at Middletown, New York, even I felt bad for the guy for that much money slipped through his grasp in just a one afternoon's worth of racing. I thought it was exciting down in Texas for the United States Grand Prix to be run over the weekend. I thought it was fantastic. I always get jazzed up for F1 in the United States, particularly the Haas cars, which are their main headquarters alongside Stuart Haas Racing in Kannapolis, North Carolina, less than 30 minutes from where I'm broadcasting from right here for Speedway Report. Romain Grosjean was 10th, scoring the final world championship point that is allotted, and Esteban Gutierrez did not finish the race, finished down in 21st, so big disappointment for them, but good to have the United Formula One racing here on American soil. And we will not sign off tonight without recognizing today's date, October 24th, tragically linked with the Martinsville Speedway for two reasons. On this date, back in 1985, the great Richie Evans lost his life in a modified practice run at Martinsville Speedway on Thursday, a few days before the Sunday big triple header they used to run with twin 200s and the 100 for the late model stocks, 200 laps for the modifieds. He was part of that, as well as in 2004, the Hendrick Motorsports plane crash claimed 10 lives on their way to the race in Martinsville, Virginia. I remember where I was when I heard Richie Evans died, 1985, heard it on the news, the local news, as I lived in Connecticut. And modified racing did not make the local news. It made ESPN Sports Center that night. That's how big a deal it was that Richie Evans lost his life. And a Hendrick plane crash, I unfortunately know all too well about it. I was at the track that day, that morning. Did not stay for the checkered flag. I was in the garage area. Was there all morning. Left during the race, and when I got home, I heard the tragic news back in 2004 of the Hendrick plane crash. Both of those sharing the date and the connection, October 24th, with the Martinsville Speedway. So we offer the prayers to all the families involved, as we know that they are thinking about their loved ones that were lost on this date in Martinsville, Virginia. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, please keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. We've got TV replays are now posted on the site, just on the top ribbon. If you click on the TV button, you can rewatch tonight's show, as well as past programs. We have columns posted from Vicki Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and myself. So we've got auto racing TV, radio, and stories to read on speedwayreport.com. And over here on Facebook Live, you can always watch our old television shows on our Facebook page. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work and bringing us to life tonight. Jeff and our Racers Reunion family will be back tomorrow on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We call it the Goat Rodeo. And don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern Time, right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in, both our stock car site and the drag racing site. It is great to be part of your Racers Reunion family. I should ask Jeff for permission, but I may be taking next Monday night off because it is Halloween, and I might be out trick-or-treating with my little girl. So happy Halloween for everybody. Right now, our plan is to return live in 2 weeks, November the 7th. And if you tuned in late or would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of the Racers Reunion programs, you head to racersreunion.com or speedwayreport.com, and you can hit listen now and hit up the archives as well as a replay of 24/7 content throughout the week. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, you take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't you go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 2 weeks, November the 7th, and have results from NASCAR's Sprint Cup in Texas, the North-South Shootout for Asphalt Modifieds, and rip into the Hot Topics. Thank you all for joining us on Racers Reunion Radio, Facebook Live, Speedway Report TV. Good night.
Bimini's Oyster Bar and Seafood Cafe is